You're listening to A Prissity by Millie Wilcox, Chapter 21, Redefining the Number One. After the kids left for school on Tuesday, Stephanie shifted the chair and one of the couches in the living room to make enough room to put up a folding table in the corner. She put a folding chair up to it. That way, Chris could work there if he came over. Around 10 a.m., she had not heard from him yet, so she called him.
"Hi,"
he said cheerfully. "Hey, are you coming over today?" Stephanie asked hopefully.
"I can if you want me to,"
Chris said nonchalantly. "I don't want to be pushy. I just thought maybe Amara would be better for you over here. You don't have to if you don't want to. I just thought I would ask." Stephanie was feeling a little awkward.
"I do want to come over. That would be fantastic. I just didn't want to make any assumptions, and I don't want you to get sick of me already,"
Chris explained. "I won't get sick of you," Stephanie promised.
"I'm sure you will at some point, but I will come over if you want."
"I do want you to, but only come over if you want to."
"I do."
"Okay, then."
"Okay, see you soon."
"Okay, bye," Stephanie smiled. This time it took Chris 45 minutes to get there. Stephanie was way more excited for Chris to come over than she had thought she should be. When he arrived, Amara immediately went over to the toy bin and dumped it over again and then began playing. "I put a table up for you if you want to work at it," Stephanie pointed to the folding table in the corner of the living room.
"Thanks,"
Chris approved. He got out his computer and put a big stack of papers on the table. "Hey, Chris," Stephanie said.
"Hmm?"
"Caden told me yesterday that he got sent to the principal's office for falling asleep in class."
"Ugh,"
Chris growled.
"They didn't even call me this time. That is so demented to punish him for falling asleep."
"So has it been happening a lot?" Stephanie asked.
"Just since Jody stopped babysitting for me. He's just not getting enough sleep with the back and forth so late at night."
"Why wouldn't the school tell you? You would think that they would talk to the parent about it."
"I think it's because they feel sorry for me. We've already had a few meetings with the school this year."
Chris's forehead wrinkled.
"We've had a lot of issues. Caden is a really smart kid, but he is having trouble with reading. I asked and asked them to test him for dyslexia, and they finally did that, like, a month ago."
"Poor kid. He's going through a lot. His little world has been turned upside down."
"Yeah."
Chris rubbed his neck.
"He's had a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. He's maybe not the only one. That's just another thing for Jody to be annoyed with me about."
"Chris, have you thought about, what if you enrolled him here?" Chris rubbed his forehead.
"And then he would sleep here, you mean?"
"Kind of makes sense."
"If you want to adopt my kids, you realize I'm part of the package, right?"
Chris smirked at her. Stephanie smiled. "Yeah, maybe it's time to have that talk."
"The talk about adopting me?"
Chris teased. "Ha ha," Stephanie laughed sarcastically. "How's that for a proposal?"
"Do you want a fancy proposal?"
Stephanie shrugged. Matthew climbed up onto Chris's lap. "Matthew, let Chris work," Stephanie scolded.
"He's fine. I have lots of practice working with someone on my lap, and he's not even smacking the keyboard."
"Okay, but let me know if you get tired of him, and I will take him back."
"Okay,"
Chris agreed. "Oh, at some point, I have some questions to ask you," Stephanie remembered.
"What kind of questions?"
Chris looked nervous. Stephanie walked into the bedroom and grabbed a paper off her dresser that she had printed off earlier. She walked back into the living room and read the top out loud. "Questions to ask your significant other before saying I do." Then she looked up at Chris nervously. "I just figured there's still a lot we don't know about each other, and it seems like we've been moving kind of fast in that direction."
"Uh-oh, I'm no good at tests,"
Chris joked. "It's not a test, it's a questionnaire," Stephanie corrected.
"I'm no good at questionnaires,"
Chris amended. "Don't be a baby, it's not hard," Stephanie insisted. Chris turned to Matthew.
"She just called me a baby."
"No, I baby,"
Matthew responded. Chris chuckled and then turned to Stephanie.
"What's the first question?"
"Okay, number one. What does marriage mean to you?"
"I knew it. This is a test,"
he deflected. "Just answer the question."
"It means..."
He picked up his phone and typed on it for a moment. "Hey, no cheating," Stephanie scolded.
"The legally or formally recognized union of two people as partners in a personal relationship,"
Chris read out loud. Stephanie raised her eyebrows at him. "I'm going to have to give you a zero."
No, wait, give me another chance.
Chris pleaded. Stephanie laughed. Okay, one more chance. She pointed at him. No cheating this time.
Okay, promise. What does marriage mean to me? I guess it means a commitment to each other.
He looked at Stephanie as if to see if he was getting it right. She just pursed her lips at him. He continued.
It means being committed to only one person for the rest of your life, and in some cases, the rest of forever.
Chris's face went solemn. He rubbed his forehead.
Something isn't computing here. Unless we are redefining the number one, which I'm pretty sure is not allowed.
He turned around in his seat and faced his computer so Stephanie could no longer see his face. One question and she had already upset him. Stephanie took a deep breath. She reached out and touched his arm. Do you want me not to ask you any more questions? She asked. Chris rubbed his forehead again and turned back around to face her.
You're right. I am a baby. I'm sorry.
This wasn't meant to be painful, Stephanie said. You make some good points with your definition of marriage. She sat down on the arm of the couch near Chris.
So is this questionnaire a two-way thing, or do I have to answer all the questions?
You can ask me whatever you want, Stephanie declared.
Okay, so what does marriage mean to you?
Chris asked. Stephanie thought for a moment. This is harder than I thought.
Ha, told you.
Chris laughed. Okay, it means two people are committed to make the other person the most important thing in their life. More important than work or hobbies or whatever. Except for maybe God and their children, I guess. Those can be equal. Anyway, that's how I see it, but I know not everyone feels that way. Stephanie was feeling like she was digging herself into a hole. What if Chris didn't like her answer? I mean, I'm open to different interpretations, and I don't mean you can't have hobbies or anything like that. Chris must have noticed she was starting to get flustered. He smiled kindly at her and said,
That's a good definition.
So you agree? Stephanie asked shyly.
Yeah, I do.
Stephanie was relieved. I mean, I do think you should have hobbies.
Oh, shoot. I'd better get on that.
Chris joked. I mean, if you want to. Matthew, who was still sitting on Chris's lap, picked up Chris's pen and started scribbling on one of the assignments sitting in front of him.
No, don't color on that.
Chris snapped. Matthew started crying. Stephanie picked Matthew up. You don't get to color on Chris's special papers. Let's find you some paper. She reached over Chris and grabbed a coloring book and a pencil box full of broken crayons from the shelf that was behind the table. Then she took Matthew to the kitchen table to color.
Sorry,
Chris said as she walked back into the room. No, I'm sorry he scribbled on your papers, Stephanie said apologetically. Chris moved the stack of paper so it was in the center of the table.
So what's the next question?
He asked. You still want to answer questions? Stephanie asked, leerily.
Oh, do I get to choose?
You don't have to answer them if you don't want to.
No, it's fine. What's the next one?
Stephanie was nervous. What are your expectations regarding our finances? She said trepidatiously.
Yes, an easy one.
Chris approved.
Well, I think it's a good idea for us to merge accounts, pay off your credit card debt, and try not to get into debt anymore. I guess I don't really know what your monthly spending looks like, though. At some point, we need to sit down and go over a budget and see if we can make it work.
Chris trailed off when he saw Stephanie's face.
Why are you looking at me like that?
He asked. You really are just going to take care of us, then? Stephanie was getting a little choked up.
I'm gonna try.
Stephanie's chin quivered as she gave him a grateful smile.
Okay, now it's your turn. What are your expectations regarding our finances? Did you have any other options I wasn't aware of?
Chris asked. That's two questions, Stephanie pointed out.
Okay, just pick one then.
Chris said. Well, I was hoping you would take care of us, but I didn't want to make any major assumptions. Stephanie was so relieved. I don't think I have any other options aside from moving in with my parents or doing massages on the side and making maybe $300 a month until I graduate. But then I would still have to pay for childcare for a couple more years when I start working. She could feel a huge weight lifting from her. She knew they were going to be okay. God really was going to take care of them. Chris would take care of them. Stephanie started to tear up as she quickly said a silent prayer of gratitude in her heart.
You okay?
Chris asked. Yeah. I am so much more okay than I have been in a long time, she replied. Chris nodded shortly.
What's the next question?
Stephanie blinked until her eyes cleared and she could read the next question. What's your guilty pleasure? Chris scowled.
I'm not answering that one.
Okay, Stephanie said simply. Well, I like Hallmark movies.
That's embarrassing.
Chris teased. Stephanie smacked him lightly with the back of her hand.
I'm just kidding,
he said. Stephanie went on. Sometimes I think about making cookies for the kids, but then I end up hiding and eating the cookie dough instead. Chris laughed.
Okay. I like conspiracy theory podcasts.
Stephanie laughed. You would.
I know. I'm a dork like that.
He admitted. They sat smiling at each other for a moment until Caleb came into the room.
Mom, I'm so hungry.
He whined. That's because you won't eat anything I feed you, Stephanie said, exasperated. What do you want to eat?
I want a cookie,
Caleb said. No, you can't have a cookie for lunch, Stephanie said, annoyed. Then she listed off every food she could think of in the house, all of which Caleb declined. Peanut butter and jelly?
No.
Grilled cheese?
No.
Chicken nuggets?
No.
Nachos?
No.
Quesadilla?
No.
Oatmeal?
No.
Mac and cheese?
No.
How about leftover pot roast? At the last one, Caleb screamed,
No!
And melted into a pile on the floor. Stephanie rolled her eyes. You know what, Caleb? I'm just going to surprise you. I will make you lunch and leave it on the table for you, and you can eat it or not eat it. The choice is yours. Caleb just whined, so Stephanie got up and went to make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She put it on his special Paw Patrol plate. Then she made another sandwich for Amara and one for Matthew. She sliced some apples and little cubes of cheese to go with it. Then she dished up two plates of pot roast and potatoes. When the first one was done heating up, she took it to Chris.
I've gained 10 pounds since I started coming over here,
Chris said when she handed him the plate. Good, I bet you needed it. Chris protruded his stomach and shook his head. Stephanie laughed. Amara started fussing in the high chair. Stephanie got up to walk into the kitchen, but she got up too fast and got lightheaded. Whoa, she said, as she stabilized herself against the wall between the living room and the kitchen. She put her head against it as she waited for the room to stop spinning. It occurred to her that she had forgotten to eat breakfast. That happened a lot these days.
You okay?
Chris asked. Yeah, I just got up too fast, Stephanie said, with her head still against the wall.
Are you sure you're okay?
He said more intently. Yes, I just forgot to eat breakfast this morning, and then I got up too fast. Stephanie walked into the kitchen. She saw that Caleb had actually decided to eat a sandwich once she wasn't looking. When he saw her, he jumped down and ran out of the room. She got Amara down from the high chair and carried her over to the sink to wash the sticky peanut butter off her hands and face. Chris came into the kitchen and stood watching them. Amara had gotten peanut butter in her hair and all over her shirt, so Stephanie started to pull off Amara's shirt. She got another wave of lightheadedness and was worried about passing out while holding Amara, so she turned to Chris. Here, she handed Amara to him. I need to sit down. She sat down at the kitchen table and started eating the rest of Amara's mutilated peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Chris just stood there, staring at Stephanie, holding Amara, who had one arm in her shirt and one arm out.
Stephanie?
He quavered. He put Amara down, still halfway in her shirt, and walked over to Stephanie. I'm fine. My blood sugar's just low, she insisted. He looked at her with wide eyes. He was breathing fast. He was starting to look panicked. Stephanie picked up the crust to Matthew's sandwich that he had left at the table and started eating it.
Do you think you should see a doctor?
Chris asked. Stephanie thought he was definitely overreacting. I am fine. What's your deal? As she said that, it occurred to her why he was acting so funny. Chris, she said quietly. I'm fine. This is normal. I just skipped breakfast. I don't have leukemia or anything like that. Chris sat down next to her, gritting his teeth. Stephanie laid her head down on his arm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
You're sure you're okay?
He asked again. Amara leaned against Chris's leg and hugged him. Way to go, Stephanie said. You now have peanut butter all over your pants.
Ah!
Chris moaned. He pushed Amara away from his leg and started to pull her shirt off the rest of the way. Sorry I fed her peanut butter. I think she needs a bath now. Chris stood up, picked Amara up, and walked her over to the kitchen sink. He turned the water on and dunked her head under the tap. She squealed and squirmed. He squirted a little dish soap into her hair and lathered it up. Then he rinsed her curls clean. All the while she squealed and kicked her little legs in the air. Then Chris stood her on her feet. Amar had water dripping all down her face and onto her bare back and tummy. Her hair was all sticking up in funny directions. She tried to run off, but started to slip on the watery mess that was dripping from her hair. Chris caught her before she hit the floor. He grabbed the hand towel and dried her off, then dried the floor. Amara ran to play in the living room, and Chris hung the towel back up and walked back over to Stephanie.
"You sure you're okay?"
he repeated quietly. Stephanie was already starting to feel better. "Yes, I promise." She got up. She took her pot roast out of the microwave and sat down at the table to eat it. Chris watched her for a moment, then he went to get his lunch and brought it to the table. As they sat and ate their lunches together, Chris kept glancing worriedly at Stephanie. "Stop looking at me like that. I'm not going to get sick and leave you, I promise."
"That promise means nothing. It doesn't work that way,"
Chris said bitterly. "Well, it's extremely improbable for you to be widowed twice," Stephanie pointed out.
"Yeah, I guess you're right,"
Chris agreed. Stephanie leaned into him.
"What's the next question?"
he asked. Stephanie got up to get the paper. "Do you want kids? Well, we can skip that one."
"Why skip it?"
"We can't send any of them back, I'm sorry," Stephanie answered.
"True, but maybe we want more,"
Chris pointed out. Stephanie blinked at him. 8 isn't enough?"
"We would make really cute kids."
Stephanie started laughing. "Kids? As in multiple? I thought you were a math teacher. If you add more than 1 to 8, that's equal to or greater than 10. Chris shrugged. "I'm sorry, I should not have teased you. Do you really want more kids?" Stephanie tried to sound serious.
"I don't know. I just thought we shouldn't skip the question."
"Oh, I feel bad. If we were going to have a serious conversation about it, I've ruined it. If you want to consider having more kids, then..." Stephanie took a deep breath. "Yeah, no, I really don't love the idea of throwing up for 9 months again. It's terrible. I have to go to the hospital to get IV fluids. I nearly died of dehydration with Matthew."
8 is definitely enough kids,"
Chris said quickly. Stephanie laughed and hugged his arm. "I should let you get some work done." Stephanie cleared the plates, and Chris went back to his makeshift desk. That night, when Chris got back, he was just in time for scriptures and prayer. He sat down between Caden and Caleb. Stephanie said, "Caleb, switch me seats."
"I'm sorry, you can't sit here,"
Chris said plainly. "Why not?" Stephanie asked.
"Because this is Caleb's seat,"
Chris replied. "Caleb can sit on my lap," Stephanie suggested.
"Sorry, you can't sit by me,"
Chris insisted. "Why?" Stephanie demanded.
"Because I want you to sit by me,"
Chris said bluntly. Stephanie scowled at him. He gave her a sarcastic smile.
"What?"
Emery said.
"That doesn't make any sense."
After they had prayer, Stephanie sent the kids to go brush their teeth. Then she turned to Chris. "I have more homework. Want to help me?" Chris groaned. "I've been getting the feeling you don't like me lately." Stephanie put her hand on his shoulder and rubbed it a little.
"Please don't touch me,"
Chris said quietly. Stephanie huffed and pulled her hand away. "Yeah, I'm definitely getting the vibe that you don't like me. I get it if you're just not ready to be physical with someone again, but if you don't like me, then you should probably let me know sooner than later."
"Stephanie, it's not like that,"
Chris grumbled. "Not like what?" Stephanie insisted. Emery started screaming in the bathroom. Stephanie looked at Chris for a moment longer, and then she ran to see what was going on. While she was preoccupied with the kids, Chris snuck out with Caden and Amara. Stephanie was hurt that Chris didn't even say goodnight. That was 3 nights in a row that he had left in a hurry. She was really starting to wonder if Chris didn't want to be with her. Maybe he really just wasn't ready to be physical. Or, she thought, maybe I'm just a terrible kisser, and he changed his mind about me after we made out.